Hi, everybody. Thank you for coming. I'm going to talk to you today about some findings from a small sub-study identifying barriers and facilitators of use of respondent-driven sampling for recruitment of young men who have sex with men into HIV research. It's a small sub-study of a larger study that's a larger longitudinal study that's ongoing. And so I'm going to give you a little background on that larger study, just to contextualize the sub-study. I want to recognize my co-presenters, Amy Johnson, who's in the audience. Do you want to stand, Amy, and take a bow? So Amy actually facilitated the focus groups that we ran. And Brian Mastansky and Rob Garofalo also are the dual PIs on the larger study. No relationships to disclose. So in terms of background, if you've been traveling in the same circles that I have at this conference, you've heard this a couple of times now, that young men who have sex with men ages 13 to 24 are at disproportionate risk of HIV infection. In particular, young men ages 13 to 19 are especially vulnerable to HIV infection. In fact, about 60% of cases in that age group are among young MSM. So this just gives you a visual of this disproportionate risk in the 13 to 24-year-old age group. So this is among all men who have sex with men between 2006 and 2009. The red line is that steep increase among this population. That represents about a 53% increase over these years. So quite steep, and in fact, steepest among all of the age groups of young of men who have sex with men. So the larger study is a longitudinal study of young men who have sex with men, which the nickname for the study is Crew 450. Quite clever, since our sample size is 450 that we're trying to get to. And the purpose of the larger study is really a reaction to this growing epidemic among young men. In particular, to look at some of the biopsychosocial issues that are contributing to risk in these young men, including substance use, disproportionate levels of substance use, psychological distress, including suicidality, and violence and victimization. So the purpose of this study is to look at the prevalence, clustering, and trajectories of those factors over time. So eligibility for the larger study were men who were both identified as men by sex and gender, ages 16 to 20, so we're looking at that younger group, quite young group of young men. They had to identify as gay, bisexual, or ever having sex with other men, English speaking, and available for the 2-year period. We did assessments every 6 months in this. We're doing assessments every 6 months in this study. So we're assessing for those outcomes of interest. We also do HIV testing and STI testing once a year. We're recruiting the sample via respondent-driven sampling, which is a chain referral sampling approach, peer-to-peer-based approach. The population, RDS assumes that the population is connected through social networks. We began with an initial group of what are known as seeds, which are your initial recruits. And then those seeds go out and recruit their friends. It's incentivized, so they get a monetary incentive for recruiting their friends. And in this study, we limited it to up to 3 recruits per person. And the recruitment patterns are who recruits who is tracked through uniquely numbered coupons, so you know who recruited whom. And that allows you to do estimates to the population when you complete your enrollment. So in the larger study, the initial group of seeds, we had 28 seeds, and this was as of August of 2010. The study is ongoing, so this has now increased. But at that point, when we started the sub-study, there was about 28 seeds, a total of 85 participants enrolled at that point, and the recruitment rate was 6 to 8 participants per month, which was extremely slow. So we were hoping for more like 15 to 18 participants a month. So this was very, very slow for the initial 7 months of the project. In addition to that, the average number of recruits per person was only 0.72 recruits. And RDS depends on recruitment. In fact, you have to have at least one recruit per person on average in order to propagate the networks, the network process. And we were much under that with 0.72. And then, in addition, 65% of the participants recruited no one. So these are all indicators of major problems in the process. So as a result of that, we did this sub-study, the purpose of which was to identify and describe facilitators and barriers of the use of RDS with these young men in this study. We were trying to, you know, quickly figure out, get as much information as we could about what was going wrong, and we wanted to know what was going wrong from the participants' perspective. So in terms of the sub-study, sampling and data collection, it's a subsample of the larger Crew 450 study. Data was collected via three focus groups that were run between September and October of 2010. The focus group discussion was structured with a focus group guide that contained really three sets of questions. The first was around barriers and facilitators of recruitment, both their perception of barriers and facilitators for themselves to be recruited into the sample, as well as for them to recruit others. Also the procedural factors that hinder and promote recruitment from their perspective, and any suggestions they had to improve or enhance the recruitment process. In terms of coding analysis, the focus group data, the data were transcribed verbatim, verified, and de-identified. They were stored using a program called WebQDA, which is a piece of freeware available on the internet. And the data were analyzed with a very straightforward content analysis approach that followed very closely the focus group guide. So in the focus groups, we had 16 participants. The average age was a little over 19, age range 17 to 20. So we didn't actually get any of those really young guys, the 16-year-olds, in the focus groups. The participants were 50% black, which matched pretty closely the larger sample. So we purposefully sampled the larger sample in order to try to represent as close as we could race, ethnicity of that larger sample, as well as we purposely over-selected people who had done a lot of recruitment in order to hear from their perspective what was working. And so the sample ended up about 50% black. We found that the young black men were more effective recruiters. In terms of recruitment effectiveness in the subsample, about 31% had recruited their full three participants, so we oversampled those guys. Okay, so in terms of the data, what did we find? In terms of barriers, lots of barriers, but I'll present the most salient ones here. So a major barrier for them was fear of outing or breaches of confidentiality. So RDS is really used to sample populations who are hidden and stigmatized, and it's meant to sample that population. In this case, we really found that these guys were hidden to each other to some extent, and this quote sort of captures that. One of the participants said, "My people, they know about me, but like that would make some people don't want to come because they think that like it will get back to their mother, or they think that other people in their family will know about it." Another barrier, social network size and composition. So we found that the participants were expressing that they had a small eligible network size. One participant said, "I'll be 21 soon, and I just came out a year ago, and I don't have a big circle of gay friends yet, so a lot of them I do have are 21, 22, or 23. So we heard this a lot from the participants, is that their friends that were out tended to be older, and so the younger participants were not as out and so harder to identify. A second participant said, "I have less friends in the ages of 16 to 20, so they're again eligible network size. And it's hard for me to put myself out there for this bracketed age." So when we asked him, "What do you mean by that? What are you talking about, put yourself out?" And he said this was reflecting the confidentiality issue and his feeling of trust of people in that age group. So interestingly enough, we had some participants say, if they were younger than 16, we trust them, and if they were over 20, we trust them. So this seems to be a particular age group where this is a problem. So another barrier was problems with coupons that were lost or not used. So we hand out the coupons, the serial-numbered coupons, to them when they're enrolled to recruit their friends. And this participant said, "I think the main problem is with the cards." So he's referring to the coupons there because they look like little business cards. because they only gave us three cards, so it's kind of like I'm a little hesitant to give them out, even though I probably could have, because I don't know if they would come or not, and then I have to get new cards. So the guys were holding on to the cards. So you want, in RDS, you want the coupons to be a valuable resource, but in this case, it was so valuable that they were holding on to it for fear that the cards would be lost. So facilitators of network recruitment. So here are some facilitators. So this is sort of the other side of the fence here. Close and trusting relationships with potential recruits facilitated recruitment. So this participant said, I've been recruiting people and I only got one person so far. We heard this time and time again. You all have been saying that it's like a confidentiality issue and he's a close friend, so that's why. So here you see that overlap between, the confidentiality issue as well as, the small network size. And he was actually able to recruit the person that he was closest to. And we got that a lot, people saying that they had recruited one person, that person was their best friend. Another facilitator was the incentive payment. So they got $15 for every recruit that they brought into the study that enrolled. And we wondered whether or not that would be an incentive to kids at this age. And we found that it absolutely was. So one participant said, I thought it would be hard because my friends are picky. It was easier than I thought as soon as they heard money, because everyone needs to keep their phone on. So with this population in particular, they're very oriented to their phones. So it was an incentive to keep a phone on, to keep paying for a phone. So we also wondered about the HIV and STI testing, but we found that at least for this group, that it really was a facilitator of recruitment. So this participant said, and he was referring to the people that recruited him, the person that recruited him, they said things like, you do get tested and they give you results for HIV, gonorrhea, and chlamydia and all that stuff. And that was a good thing. And I was like, I'll do that. So we did hear time and time again from the guys that getting free testing was an incentive. And that was a way for them to sell the recruitment to their friends. There were some comments about fear of testing, but it was overwhelmingly positive about the testing portion. Other facilitators, recruitment reminders from staff. So we have a whole protocol about calling the participants after they enroll to remind them to recruit up to a certain period of time. And so one participant said, if they didn't call me to remind me and ask me how many people I'd recruited or whatever, I would just forgot. Right after I got off the phone, I called my friend and said, what's going on? Are you going to do this or not? So in this case, he really was relating that the phone call helped him. So we asked them suggestions to enhance the recruitment process. So one of the suggestions was to make the coupons more accessible. So one participant said, get rid of those cards. People lose them. Give us the code and we'll give them the code instead of having to call and get more cards. Text us the codes, make them smaller, like two digits. We can remember them and give it to our friends. If they lose the cards and they have to be mailed, it's a long process. So it slows down the process. When the friends lose the cards, or they lose the cards, or coupons in this case, just slows down the whole process because we'd have to replace them. So this was a particular problem with these young guys. Another suggestion, create additional recruitment materials with more information about the study. So one of the things that we found is that these guys were having trouble remembering the eligibility criteria and explaining it to their friends. So this participant said, make flyers and hand them out to people who are in Crew 450. Just show them the flyer, like, check this out. This is what I've been involved in lately, here's what it entails. If you'd like to check it out right now, if you do, I have a card on me. So they wanted more materials to be able to hand out to their friends to give them more information about the study. Another suggestion, use brightly colored materials. So one participant said, I know you want to be discreet, and in fact we did. We wanted to be discreet. The initial coupons were black and white, and we even had a set of coupons that had no information about there at all about either identifying as gay, bisexual, or being MSM. And so we even had that set of coupons that someone could choose. So this participant said, if you want to be discreet, I know you want to be discreet, but you should redesign the cards because they're kind of plain. Another participant said, yeah, a dark blue navy card with pink lettering, that would be sickening, meaning good. Bright stuff like hot neon pink. KeyBerries, so in summary, conclusion, KeyBerries and facilitators were barriers. Like I said, the stigma may act as a particular barrier in this population. A limited number of friends in their network, they're perceived as eligible and trustworthy, and the targeted age group perceived not as mature or reliable, and that had mostly to do with them losing the cards. There was a lot of commentary about maturity. In terms of incentives, recruitment payments were incentives. They were motivated to test for HIV and STIs. The staff reminder calls worked well. In terms of implications and actions, what did we do with this information? Because, you know, we're continuing to recruit and we were getting behind, and so we needed to make a decision about what to do. We were all big RDS fans. Several of us on the study had worked on other studies using RDS with adults that had worked very well, so we really wanted to try to see this through to see if it would work. Ultimately, we abandoned a strict RDS-based approach for a combination of community-based and network-based recruitment. So we've maintained the network portion. We continue to incentivize network recruitment, but we've added convenience sampling. So we hired 2 part-time staff to recruit in the community and increased the presence of the study at community events. We created more materials. So we created a brochure that actually took information that we got in the focus groups and to emphasize the confidentiality, which was important to them, and the study benefits, testing, no needles, because it's all rapid tests. We modified the recruitment coupons to include brighter colors. Sickening, right? Blue, hot pink. So we also removed the serial numbers from the coupons and used a code word instead, just like the participants had told us to do. And they create the code words themselves. So when they create the code word, we make sure that it's a unique code word before we allow them to use it. And we encourage distribution of the coupons and code words through email and text because they kept telling us that's what they wanted to do. So to date, you know, this has worked well in terms of helping us to increase the recruitment rate. We're up to 15 participants a month, which is catching us up in terms of recruitment, which is a good thing. But this is by no means now RDS because it's violating many of the assumptions of RDS. But we've maintained the network portion because it has continued to bear fruit. About 70% of the sample are sprouts. So those are the recruits of the initial seeds. So we also applied for and received a supplement funded to study the social networks of YMSM. So now we have a full study. It will be a sample of 175 of these young men to look at their social networks in detail, as well as their substance using and sexual networks. And we've embedded some RDS questions in there to try to determine the relationship between the RDS-based recruitment and their social networks. Thanks very much to the Crew 450 staff at Children's Memorial Hospital Northwestern for their help recruiting for the study. The study was funded by NIDA, but this is by no means their opinion of things. Thank you.